everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified internist and addiction medicine specialist. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Drew, give me my pen back. What you there?
You
all right. Big news tonight. Oh, Drew punches the mic 22 seconds into the show.
That's how long before the top of the hour?
Maybe a new record for you, Drew.
It's 59 minutes and...
My big nail fell off my big toe today.
Yeah.
That's nice. I sniffed that baby like I was doing coke. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
That big nail smell.
Oh,
there's nothing more intoxicating than your own big nail smell.
You know that
cheese you get where the nail hits the side of your toe, that cuticle?
Yes.
You cut your nails, and about every fourth time, you take that little doodad that's hooked onto the nail clipper. It's got a little hook on it, and you hook it in there, and you pull out a ball of... It really smells like blue cheese.
Nice. You sicken me.
Oh, my God.
I'm happy for you.
I had this nail that couldn't have been made in a Hollywood studio. It was black, and it was crusty, and it was like mildewy. And I just gave it a huge whiff. I couldn't help myself.
Good times.
You know, though, what I liked about walking around with the black nail for the last 5 weeks?
What's that?
Everyone telling me how it was going to come off and how painful it was.
Oh, yeah.
People are great that way. They look down, they see your foot, and they go, oh, what happened? You go, I jammed it playing basketball. That's coming off. No ass, Sherlock. The thing's purple black. It's like John Amos black, you know?
So what, either way? You know,
yeah, but what are you going to do about it? Yeah, I like that, too. What is that human instinct? Oh, that's coming off. That's the first thing. And then number two is, yeah, it's going to be painful. It's like, thanks, dick.
Well, now, is this the big news?
Oh, yeah, the nail coming off.
Or,
yeah.
Or is this the big news?
I got pictures of Adrienne Barbeau's breasts that somebody sent in. Drew,
But look, she was a pretty woman.
I
don't mean just the nude part. I mean,
she's a very attractive lady from the 70s. Probably dead now. So anyway, what'd I say? Oh, yeah, nail came off. Big news. Big news. And here's the key, everybody. If you got a nail that you think's going to come off, don't pull it off. You know, that nail's like a piece of fruit. Don't yank on it. Wait till it's ready to go.
Don't pop the zit before it's ready?
Right.
Oh, I see.
Okay. You do what I did. You just take some of that white athletic tape and just tape it up.
Yeah.
And just hold it on.
Mm-hmm.
Thing could have popped off a week ago. I wouldn't have known it. The tape was holding it on. Pull the tape off.
Point.
Thing comes flying off. How dare you, Anderson? I'm trying to help the kids.
Jesse.
Yeah.
22. What's going on?
Well, I have a kind of a sexual question. I'm 22, and I have one baby, and my boyfriend and I sometimes, well, we like to have sex all the time, but sometimes when we're having sex, I have a kind of a sound come out of me, to put it politely, I guess, and it's kind of a mood killer, if you know what I mean.
the sound of your kid yelling, Mom?
No, actually coming out of my vagina.
Oh, the queef.
You know,
yeah.
They have their kids' toys now designed just to make that noise. Have you seen those things? Those little goop things you push into
a
fart
machine.
Oh, he does.
Oh, he's all class act, this guy.
I was actually cleaning out my garage today and found my fart machine.
Good time. Did you find one?
Yeah. This is a question we haven't had for a little while, Drew.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know why? Mm. Not because it's not happening, but because people have sort of figured the answer out.
Or they don't care.
Which is, there's no real answer.
Yeah, it's like change positions.
Right.
Yeah, that's about it.
All right.
There's nothing to
Is it bothering him?
Well, not real. I mean, not any more than it bothers me, but...
And why does it bother you?
It's kind of embarrassing.
Well, why don't you turn some music up?
Does he start laughing or something?
What's that?
Does he laugh or does he crack up or is that what bothers you?
Well, both of us do, actually.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Nothing.
Well, no, but you got your game face on. You don't want to be laughing. Ooh, Drew makes contact with the mic this time with his coffee mug.
Yeah, it's good.
Interesting. Wow, a twist. Just when you think you know him, he throws a curve at you by bashing it with his coffee mug. Hey, Jesse? Look, adjust your positions and turn the music up, and that's about
it. And talk a little bit about it. And it doesn't sound like he's not bothered by it. He's not bothered by it.
No.
I don't think he cares.
No, listen, The only thing a guy likes more than banging his girlfriend is a fart sound. This is like that Reese's Peanut Butter Cup commercial. It's like the only thing better than chocolate is peanut butter. Let's put them together. I'm thinking about just making a tape of that queef sound when I'm having sex.
Sure, your most favorite activities or experiences together at once.
Yeah, it'd actually be good to play while you're masturbating.
How would that commercial go? You got...
Drew. Just focus on punching the mic. I'll do the comedy.
Okay.
Daniel?
Yeah?
You're 16?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Okay, well, a while ago, I was going down on my girlfriend, and she started on a period.
Yeah.
It wasn't cute at all.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, I don't do that anymore, and that really bothers her.
What do you mean she started her period? What happened?
I had a funny taste in my mouth, different from her. And,
all right. We don't even believe you.
Not for a second.
Here's the deal, Daniel. Maybe it's bogus, maybe it's not. Either way, I don't have any difficulty calling you an a-hole. I really don't. And Drew, please, put that pager on vibrate, which it's going off every night now. Daniel, get over it. All right? All right.
It was bogus anyway. That's nonsense.
It was, and you know what I think we do too much of as a society? We give credence to people who are freaked out over nothing.
Yeah.
Like, what happens is, I was going down on my girlfriend, and a car backfired, and I thought it was a gunshot, and now I'm really freaked out, and I don't want to go down on her. And everyone's like, oh, well, maybe shut the F up and get the hell back there, you big puss. You go down to your girlfriend, okay, she's on her period. All right, don't go down that time of the month and get the hell back there.
We need our boot camp instructors.
Absolutely. Guys? I think we make these people seem like they have a problem when we go, oh, really? Oh,
you got another question, weirdo?
Bring it
up. Hurry
up.
Hurry up. Get out of my face right now. Push, you nasty thing.
We want to puke.
That, by the way, wasn't even during the show. I was in the bathroom, and they were waiting to use the head. Remember that?
Yeah, they're just,
trying to go number two, and they'd waited long enough.
He said push.
Katie?
Hi.
Hey, you're 22. What's up?
Yes. My boyfriend cannot get an erection. He had encephalitis when he was, 16 years old.
Wow.
And so he was catheterized, a month or so. And so he cannot get one at all.
It's probably not from the catheterization. It's from encephalitis, I bet.
What's that encephalitis, Drew?
It's an infection of the brain tissue itself. Very serious.
Bad times.
Yeah, he was in a wheelchair for a while and stuff, lost
I'm lucky life. To have survived it.
Yeah, very lucky.
Is he on medication still?
No, he's not anymore.
All right.
He's fine, except for that. But I was wondering, is there any way that, I've talked to him about it before, about maybe going to a doctor to see if they...
Absolutely. How old is he?
He's 22.
This is a medical cause for impotence. This is something that has medical solutions. Even something like Viagra might be an option for him. He absolutely should talk to a urologist about it. Absolutely. And there may be things that they can do to help correct it. Not just give symptom relief, but actually correct the problem.
Hey, does he ever get an erection, in the mornings?
No. sometimes it is a little bit, but it's never enough to... Do anything.
Everything else is normal about him now?
Yeah, as far as I can tell.
Does he masturbate?
No, I don't think so. I mean, he had sex, before he got sick. He was, 16 when he got it, and he had sex before then, but since then he hasn't.
Wow.
He hasn't been able to have intercourse. But even if he can't achieve a full erection, he still could have an orgasm, if he was masturbating. I've had a few of those when I'm going for the hat trick and I'm really loaded.
Great.
You can't get the full erection, penis flopping all over the place. It's really sad. Really sad.
I don't know. I mean, I've tried, doing stuff before, but...
I know. Well, listen, he's got to go to a doctor.
Yeah, he
or
could have, he could have a...
Fixed up.
Well,
what?
You know what? Maybe he ought to start with his neurologist, frankly. Because there can be damage to the brain that can still be reflected in his endocrine function, and there's all and there could be mechanical urologic problems, but he needs a medical evaluation for this. There are things that can be corrected potentially.
So you're saying you don't think he's had an orgasm in 6 years?
I don't think so.
I bet he can beat off.
No, I bet he's all shut down.
No drive, no production.
Something's going on, yeah.
Like, is it pretty serious? Like, he needs to, like, right away? Or
No, it's not an emergency, but he definitely should attend to this. Let's say he's, for some reason, shut down all his testosterone production. That can cause softening of the bones. There can be problems with that.
Get it? Softening of the bones?
Got it.
How does he go down on you?
Yeah, he takes care of me fine.
Okay. You're a good woman.
Thanks. I've tried. It just...
How long have you been with him?
10 months.
Is he slow in any other departments?
No, he's very smart. Just graduated college and everything.
All right, good times.
He's not attended to this in six years?
How smart can he be? He's had a limp penis for 6 years. He hasn't gone to the doctor about it?
Well, it's embarrassing.
It's a serious thing. I think there's... you ask him if he successfully masturbated in the last 6 years. I'd be very curious to hear that answer.
I have. He said he hasn't.
Oh, you did ask him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we were pretty open.
Okay.
And my brother's a doctor, and I've asked him if he wants to talk to my brother about it, but...
Now, that would be embarrassing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm
going to go to a regular doctor.
That's not a great idea, Katie. Oh, man.
Okay. How's that conversation going to be like? I've been meaning to bang the bejesus out of your kid's sister for about the last 10 months, but so far it's nothing but handies,
she's tried
BJs,
everything. She's worked hard at it.
Oh, I mean, she put a vibrator up my ass. I mean, God bless her. She's done it all. Done it all. Nipple clamps. Done it all.
I still go down on her.
Oh, hey, don't get me wrong. She has the big O, and she's a squirter. I don't have to tell you that. Anyway... trying to get the old dork going again, so what do you say? And I mean, I'm telling you, almost no sensation. She blew me for a whole episode of Sopranos once. Nothing, not a drop. I mean, she basically had to just, you know, have her lie down and whack off on her. I mean, that's all I can do with
it. Oh,
Check.
Hello?
You're 14.
Yeah, actually, it's my boyfriend, and he had to go to the bathroom.
I was going to say, if this is Jack.
No, I'm his girlfriend.
All right.
Okay, but like, Adam, I love you. You are like my biggest fan in the world.
Thank you.
I'm your biggest fan.
Do you ever hear voices or see things that aren't there?
No, I don't.
No.
You've been doing a lot of acid lately?
Tell you what. Yeah,
I love you, Adam.
Thank you.
I put your name on my shoes and everything.
Oh yes. Thank you.
I love you. You're like so great.
He's just a man.
Yeah. You know,
God, he's just a man.
It's such a coincidence because I was looking in the mirror today, and after I got out of the shower, and I was thinking that same thing.
You're so great.
I was just going, I love you, man.
Oh, okay.
Hey, you live in Chatsworth?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. What a dump.
No, it's not.
Sue your parents.
Pretty cool out there today, I bet.
Well, sort of.
Yeah, heat index about 140. I used to work on Owen's Mouth in like Devonshire or DeSoto or something.
Right near my house.
No. Do me a favor and just firebomb that whole place.
Oh, okay. You know what?
Thank you.
Jack's back. He has the question for you.
Oh, okay.
Okay, just a second.
Thank you.
She got it together for him.
Yeah, you there?
Jack?
Yeah, I have a adopted Asian sister has something to say to you. All right, here's the phone. I am an Asian queen. You know the Asian queen. I am. Queen. I am me. I double D. There's no person G. I do it. Double D. I am a queen.
It's not. I don't believe the Asian stereotype is funny. By the way, first off, so if you think you're going to get a laugh out of me, simply because I do a little Tom Fu and Minka. A lot of radio shows would have hung up a long time ago on that, but not this show. We got 2 hours to kill.
Yeah, right. We like things till they're painfully uncomfortable.
Right. All right, thanks for calling. Okay, bye.
Yeah, she's sort of psycho.
Okay. All right, that was his, was that his Asian girlfriend?
I don't know.
Okay. Let's talk to Lisa. Lisa?
Hello?
What's up? You're 22.
I pick at my head and create like a
bald spot.
I'm sorry?
Make a little bald spot?
No, I don't pull my hair. I actually have two family members who do that, but I pick at my head until it bleeds and I create scabs, and I wanted to know what that's called and if there are any health reasons why I shouldn't do it.
Well,
I guess
other than getting an infected, infected scalp.
Can you pick at your head without pulling hair out?
Yeah,
blood?
People do it. They go and they just start picking. They pick and they pick and they pick. Okay. They usually make a little bald spot, a tiny one. But this is picker syndrome. Quite literally, is one of the things that is manifest like this. Speed, cocaine, people that do a lot of stimulants will get a picker syndrome. People with obsessive compulsive disorders will pick. People with certain kinds of mood disorders can pick. Anxiety disorders. So just because you're picking doesn't really necessarily give you the diagnosis. So you have to go see someone who understands these things and get it looked at and see if there's something that can be done to help you stop.
I do see someone, and I've been diagnosed with
OCD. Bipolar.
Mm. Bipolar NOS.
What? NOS?
Or something like that, yeah.
Bipolar NOS, and NOS stands for not otherwise specified.
Oh.
Oh, really? I thought it was nitrous oxide. All right.
Okay. So,
all right, well, have they put you on any medication?
Yeah, I'm on, right now I'm on Depakote and Pamelor, I have another question about Pamelor.
Well,
I'm on Depakote and Paxil because I have anxiety disorder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this pickers thing may be part of your anxiety disorder.
How about...
Oh, you think so?
Couldn't you do something more constructive, like pick your nose?
Oh, ew.
That's what I do. I do it when I drive.
Yeah, but you got a problem, though.
I got a whole passenger seat full of boogers. You open the passenger door in my car, big avalanche of boogers comes out. Hey, it's embarrassing sometimes. People see them in the ashtray.
No.
Yeah, it's humiliating. I shouldn't talk about it. Hey, how about you wear, oven mittens or something to prevent yourself from picking?
Well, I don't...
How about you talk to your doctor about it? Because there are drugs that are more effective than Paxil at preventing it. So that's what you do.
Well, here's the deal with Lisa. She's got a problem. She's seeing somebody.
Yeah.
She's under supervision. She's on medication.
She's not in the right one, so...
A whole heck of a lot we can do.
Not
for
from
her,
here,
right?
No.
Kurt?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
I am going through a very long dry spell in dating, and in fact, I'm still a virgin at 26.
Ooh. Ooh.
Loser.
That's not really a dry spell. It's a dry life.
Yeah, it's a
spell would suggest it's like saying a guy is in a slump who never got a hit.
That's pretty much it.
Never played in the league.
Haven't been to the plate. So
right, right. Well, what's up?
Well, I think it's about time to make a change. I've had enough moping around and stewing and.
Mm-hmm. So what are you gonna do?
So
what's the plan? What are you studying?
I'm studying landscape architecture at Cal Berkeley.
Mm-hmm. What's your plan?
Well, I figure I'm at a college school. There are bound to be lots of women.
Oh, what a novel idea. Meet someone at school.
However, at my age,
no?
Never.
I wonder whether it would be the right thing to do to go for a woman who's an undergrad because we'd have similar lack of experience, so to speak. Or should I...
Hey, hold on a second there, Einstein. Drew, remember when I said the smarter the guy is, the less chance he has to get laid last night?
Here's living proof.
Being smart never helped you get laid.
He's got a war room with a big, a layout of the Berkeley campus with little figures he moves around, how he's going to get from place to place and plan the attack.
Kurt, you're an intelligent guy. You're a good student, I'm sure. You wouldn't be going to Berkeley, but you intellectualize too much. You're up in your head too much.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, you need to do a little less thinking, a little more drinking, and just get out there. You know what I mean? You need to tilt a few at a mixer.
Yeah, I'm off the sauce.
Oh, you're an alcoholic?
No, I wasn't. I'm a total lightweight, and I just hate what it does to me mentally.
Hold on a second. You know what I like about Kurt? He's he's off the sauce, and he has a little dry spell. It's basically... He said, to hear Kurt describe his situation, he was, basically a millionaire playboy in the 60s, but the hard-driving lifestyle, womanizing, and the boozing, and the substance abuse got to him, and he swore off it, and now he's in a cool-down period. The reality is, this guy's probably drank a thimble of Manischewitz in his life and vomited, and hasn't even got a hand job at age 26. But he does put a good spin on it, off the sauce. Off the sauce. Kurt.
Yeah, you like that one, huh?
Yes, you got to get back on the sauce.
Okay.
Yeah. listen, I'm not saying abuse substances. I'm saying you're thinking way too much. Should I date an undergrad? What's her GPA? Forget about it. You find someone you're attracted to, go talk to her. And remember, everybody, all you virgin guys out there who have sworn off the sauce, nobody knows what your story is until you reveal it to them, either in words or in mannerisms.
Yeah, women, first of all, they can sense it. They're like a gazelle with a lion approaching. Secondly, they have meetings where they announce it, I'm sure, with women. I know it.
No, don't freak the guy out. I mean, what I'm saying is you're a 26-year-old guy. I'm sure there's nothing wrong with you physically. You're certainly an intelligent guy. Do whatever you want. If you see a woman that's attractive, go up and talk to her. Don't walk around like a cripple. Do you know what I'm saying, Kurt?
Yeah, I hear you.
You don't have to do it. And when you do find a woman you're interested in, don't give her the hard luck story.
All right.
No, do not.
Don't start telling her about being a virgin. Don't start telling her about crying and
slumps
masturbating and slumps and all that kind
sauce,
of stuff.
No slumps.
You are a man of mystery to her. Okay?
Well, how much is the radar going to pick up when I approach this?
Here's what the radar will do. It will lock in on your posture, your walk, your vibe. So if you're kind of slumped over and your pants are hiked up too high and your belt cinched in a couple notches too tight, she will pick up on that.
They want someone that can make them feel good. Fun, be present emotionally. That's all.
And don't think about it that much. Yeah. That's all.
All right.
Now just get out there and don't do any thinking.
Could I get is producer Ann still with the program?
Yes.
Could I get the woman's point of view for what she would think or what like the hypothetical 30-year-old woman would think? If,
all right, quick, Ann, bring it in here. You hear it?
No, she just said you're a puss and told you to get to work.
Cool, all right.
All right, Kurt, get
thanks,
busy.
Man.
That's all.
Yep.
All right. All the brains in the world can't figure out a way to get you laid. It's really a weird thing. I mean, it's like, in a way, it's an equation. It's a problem that needs to be solved.
Yeah, but it's not mathematical.
No. But it's not even a problem-solving brain can't help you with that one.
Yeah, it's more experiential, yeah.
You're too close to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Kurt could probably get his friend Kurt laid, but Kurt's living inside of Kurt's underpants, and he can't do it.
Right.
I like to be living inside of Kurt's underpants.
No, not really.
Drew, where are you going?
I've been called several times here. I got to go to the phone.
All right. Will you turn that pager on vibrate, please?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Please?
Yeah.
Please? And we'll be back.
Loveline will be right back, so get your problems.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. That Drew got his hands on the can of nuts, baby. He's going to town.
Woo!
Hoo Lord. Don't pick out just the ones you want, Drew. Come on.
I want the peanuts.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, you like the peanuts?
I know you want these nuts.
Oh, good. Good. You know, I was thinking as I was looking, looking at I'm tired. This mixed can of nuts. I thought how relative life was. You look at these mixed cans of nuts with the cashews and the almonds and the walnuts and the hazelnuts and all that, and they'll advertise, now with less peanuts,
huh.
Right?
Yeah.
Because that's the bargain basement nut in the bucket. But when you open a little packet of that goddamn stale Fiesta mix when you're on a cheap international flight, you're begging. I'd blow the stewardess for a peanut. Wait a minute, does the stewardess have a penis?
Some of them.
Okay. Corcoran.
Yeah,
Cochran.
Corcoran. Corcoran.
Yeah, what's happening?
Hey, this is a very belated compliment, but I loved your guys' book from a couple years ago.
Oh, thanks.
I think that in hotels, instead of the Bible, your book should be on every nightstand.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
My question is about my tongue. I want to pierce it 3 times. I want to triple pierce it, and I want to know how long I should wait between piercings, and once the novelty of it wears off, how long or how well it will heal.
So you have no piercings in it now?
No, I'm pierce-free.
Will they let you do 3 at once?
No, that would be very painful. No.
Not just painful, but very, very dangerous, I would think.
Yeah, because there's an artery in there, I know.
Yes, there is. The only double piercing I've ever seen got terribly infected. Horrible.
What do you mean the only double piercing?
It's the only one I've ever seen.
You mean in a tongue?
Yeah, and it happened to be a patient of mine who had to take everything out because it got really infected.
You've never seen more than 2?
Never have, myself.
I tell you, I'd be scared that if you, you know, ever gave me oral pleasure, that my penis might slip through one of those holes.
I'd be careful.
It can get large now, you know. You can patch it. Yeah. Oh, you'd be careful?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Why is it that you want three when you don't even have one?
I think it's the novelty of it. Here's the plan. I want, starting at the teeth from the tip of the tongue, I want a green barbell followed by a yellow and a red.
Uh-huh, like a traffic light?
Exactly.
So if you meet a dude at a club and you're into him, you show him the green one.
There you go.
But if you don't like the guy, you show him the red one. And the yellow means two more wine coolers, you get a BJ.
Exactly. That's good.
Sure. Well, do you have other piercings or tattoos?
No, just double piercings in my ears.
Wow.
It's just really, it's just, we've never had the person who's not yet had one who's planning on three.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, why don't you get the one and see how it feels and see how you like
why
it?
Why do you need that kind of attention?
It's
good point.
Entertainment.
For who?
For myself and others.
That's like a load of crap. I'm tired of nonsense answers.
For yourself. Why don't you get one of those paddles, those with the springy balls on it, if you want to stay entertained, retard.
I have one of those.
What's wrong with you?
Why?
Well, all you people. What do you mean? Stop acting out, all of you. I don't want to know. I'm tired of seeing everybody wearing everything. Do you know what I mean? What's wrong? Why are you so insecure?
Oh, wow. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. I think it's basically maybe a rebellion thing.
Right. Well, here's what I'm saying. You're an intelligent person. There's some issues. You think you're going to help resolve or ease some of those issues by getting the triple piercing. And I'm saying,
I think I'm going to get rid of it after a couple of years. The novelty will wear off.
Okay. Well, okay. Are you that interested in advertising to everybody that something's wrong with you?
No.
Or whatever it is.
Well, what is it you imagine it will do for you? I'm actually just curious.
You know, this is going to sound really bad, but I want to be a stand-up comic, and it'd be a great gimmick.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What, you got any material?
Oh, God, I have three notebooks, and I can't even get the nerve to get on stage.
No, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, that was Adam.
I'm doing Kilborn tomorrow. I just found out today, and I'm trying to come up with some jokes, and I was sitting around getting a headache. I'm out of comedy, by the way.
I'll watch it tomorrow.
Yeah, well, be careful. There's not going to be any comedy there.
All right.
I start thinking of jokes, and then I realize I already said those ones on his show. All right. Well, hey, listen. Look, here's what you need to do. You want attention. You want to rush. You want to do something daring. Go do an open mic.
Oh.
You live in Chicago, right?
Yes.
You know where the comedy clubs are.
Yeah.
You can find out what night the open mic is.
I've been there. And I just can't go.
And Parker, it's a little cheap to be using visual sort of aids. You know what I mean? It's not really challenging your skill.
That's right.
Well, talking about it gets enough laugh out of people.
Yeah,
yeah, but it's not really developing any skill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look at Carrot Top. go do one of those open mics, would you?
All right. Do it.
Let me explain something to everybody who wants to do anything in life. The first 10 times you do it, you're going to suck. So get it over with. Don't keep putting those 10 off. Whenever you start, like if you want to do stand-up comedy, right? If you want to do stand-up, you by law have to suck for at least your first 10 times up on stage. You really do.
Yeah.
So, and if you tried it at 17, you're going to suck for the first 10 times. And if you tried it at 27, you're going to suck. And if you tried it at 37, you will suck. So do it at 17 and get it over with. And then get on to the point, like I'm at with my career, where I'm not sucking.
But it's more like you don't care if you do.
Oh, right.
Yeah, that's
that's
you.
Better. Right. And then in a while, I'll be good. I'm still enjoying the non-suck phase of my career. Sarah?
Hello?
You're 31?
Yeah.
What's up?
How you doing?
Good.
Oh, I'm sorry. Am I on already?
Yep. Yeah.
Oh. How are you two?
We're well.
Good. First, can I just say that my husband loves The Man Show, Adam?
I'm sorry, you. Sarah.
Thank him very much for
me. Yeah, he thinks it's so funny, and I think it's funny, but I don't watch it as much as he does, but anyway.
All right, thanks.
Whatever.
For using us out of that compliment.
Okay.
I just think it's a great way to define the differences between men and women. Just have a woman watch it, have a man watch a man show.
Well, it's...
Notice the differences.
It's called The Man Show for a reason. Go ahead.
Well, my question is, my husband and I love sex, of course, and But, and this has happened ever since we've been together, which is 2 years, not too long. But, you know, he gets to the point where is going to come. And then all of a sudden, it's like the urge, I guess, for him to go just goes away. And then
you're fat.
Drew, please let her finish. Well, we don't know.
He goes, what was, or he goes.
Wait a minute, guys don't do that.
He gets right to the point.
Like he goes, like I can tell, I can almost feel it, like inside it's so tight and it's so hard. And then all of a sudden it goes away. And I was like, what happened? And he goes, I don't know. I don't know what happened.
No, you're overweight. That's not him being almost there. No way. No way. That's just him losing it.
I wonder why he keeps, you mean losing the
erection.
Does he lose the erection?
No, because he's still, well, you know what? Sometimes when he's inside me, I can feel it. It's not as hard as it is, but it's right. Still hard enough to be inside.
That happened with me and Drew. I knew he was thinking about something else.
That was you.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. I was thinking about you thinking about something else. Went down. Okay, so he claims to get very close to orgasm. Have you ever gave him an orgasm?
Oh, of course. It just takes a little bit longer than I would think the normal people.
How long?
Well, sometimes it can go for over an hour. It just depends. I mean,
are you just kind of losing interest and maybe that he picks up on that and he kind of fades out too?
No, because actually sometimes I really try to, you know, put it on heavy for him, like, oh, it's, you know, just to make him feel,
well, people,
come on, let's get this over with. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, guys can sense the BS factor too. And that would make the guy lose his erection.
No.
Yeah, it would.
No.
Well, say that again, Dr. Drew?
No, hold on. He doesn't know anything. Forget those degrees. I can't. I just want to say this. I was just thinking about that. You know when you're having sex, you've been going at it for a while, you think your partner's near an orgasm, so you make that run, you make that sprint because you think you see the finish line?
That's an anxiety-provoking thing.
And you make that move, and you go at it, and then you realize at some point, hey, it ain't happening.
Yeah.
I mean, you made that sprint, you got to do another lap.
Like, oh gosh, here we go again.
That when you start going for it like that, that puts pressure on him and makes him anxious, and that's when he loses it.
Let me.
He also knows it's sort of an insincere attempt to try to get things over with.
God, can I say one more thing?
No, you can't. I'm arguing with Drew. Hold on, sis.
Okay.
First off, since when did guys care about sincerity? They go get pay for lap dances all night long. They don't care about sincerity.
Really, when they really care about
number two.
I don't even have that experience, but they do.
He had this problem before. Otherwise, she wouldn't have had to make the run.
Right.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand. She knows what.
So this problem existed.
Yeah, absolutely.
She could have slightly exacerbated it with speed and insincerity, but that is not the nature of the problem.
No, right, I understand. You're right.
So let's not dwell on that.
Is he on medication?
No, but there's one thing let me mention because it might mean something. I sort of mentioned it before, but I can actually feel when he's going to come. It's like, all of a sudden, it feels better. Like when he comes, usually, I get this explosive feeling inside. I don't know what it is. It's like, it feels good for me, too. But so when he loses it, I can feel it. I'm just like, oh, gosh. Okay. So he loses it. I can feel him actually almost, and then he doesn't. Like, I can feel inside. I know it sounds strange.
No.
You see, you feel him building, and then he loses it.
I feel the
build. That's him going, oh, God. Damn it.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
But also, we've spoken about masturbation, and he also says sometimes it takes him a long time, even when he's masturbating, to come too.
Is he doing a lot of that?
Not actually. I think he used to, but now he can't because he's working so much, and sometimes he works graveyard and lots of hours.
That's why they got bathrooms at work.
And that may be the problem here overall, is just run down. I still think medicine's here. Wait,
I really think that, Drew.
Yeah.
For every 10 guys whose cork goes off, pops out of their penis-shaped champagne bottle in 10 seconds, there's one guy who has difficulty.
Yeah.
It takes a while. Any medications?
Nope.
No drugs, no pot, no anything.
No.
Nothing.
No way.
No supplements. No DHEA, no nothing. No herbs. Think about it.
No, I know. We both are drug-free, alcohol-free.
How old is he?
30.
30. All right. Another thing, too, is you guys haven't been together that long.
Right.
And he's not that old.
Yeah.
And you will find some rhythm.
Work it out.
And work it out. But this may just be this guy's metronome.
And he's working hard, and that's when this stuff gets worse.
And he can have the orgasm.
Yeah.
He's just pushing.
Yeah.
Just working. I got the same thing, really. Thank God I've worked the masturbation part out. Otherwise, I'd be late every night. But sexually, yeah, same. I got to work a little bit.
Yeah, but you got the eye of the ninja.
I focus.
Yeah.
You got to focus. All right. Let's talk to Carrie, who's 15. Carrie?
Hi.
What's up?
I'm attracted to my uncle.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Not really.
Oh, how old is he?
25.
Mm-hmm.
Does he respond to your overtures?
Sometimes I think that he does, but I mean, I know it's not right. I don't know. Sometimes I don't think so.
When he does...
Ooh, taboo too.
When he does, exactly how does that go
down? She doesn't know what overtures are. That's why she had a little difficulty with that.
Yeah. What happens if you show him your attraction?
Sometimes he'll, like, put his arm around me or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, I take my nephews and wrestle with them constantly. That doesn't...
I don't have to report you. Come on.
I don't want to hump both of them.
Are you just obsessing over this guy?
Well, not... I don't know. I think about him a lot.
Okay. This is just that guy that she's chosen to obsess on.
Who is he? Whose side is he on?
Whose brother is he?
Oh, he's my mom's brother.
Your mom's brother. So, yeah, that's not a great plan. Yeah. Well, you can be attracted to him.
Right. At 15, it's normal to
15?
Get...
15, sure.
But it's also normal to get some obsessions going to 15. That's when Bon Jovi starts to look good. And
starts.
Yeah, you know I mean?
Yeah. Hey, Carrie?
Yeah?
You just don't do anything about it, that's all.
You pray God that he doesn't do anything about it. That's the important thing.
Well, it doesn't look like he's gonna.
And you need, as much as possible, re-engage in reality. Stay with your peers and realize this is just a way of distracting you from your mood, usually. You've been kind of depressed lately?
Yes, well, I don't know.
Yeah, and that's also not so abnormal at 15. And there's just the way your brain kind of manages depression at 15 when it doesn't have anything else at its disposal, which is to start focusing on things. Keep going with your friends. Find some things that help you build a sense of yourself. You'll be fine.
Drew, I just had this thought about maybe not your own children and maybe even not their kids, but maybe their kids.
Yeah.
As I see you trying to eat and trying to hand out advice simultaneously on the radio.
Right.
I'm guessing that, like I said, in
three or four generations.
Three or four, maybe five generations. That those kids, if your kids get into radio and their kids get into radio, that eventually they will have teeth in their anus. And that they will be able to ingest food rectally while dispensing advice on the radio.
Yeah.
Because I thought, that's really the next step for us.
Mm-hmm.
To feed ourselves rectally so that we can have our mouths free to talk on the radio, but still ingest snacks as we're talking. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, that worked.
Drew, can you put food up your ass and get something out of it? I mean, you can put booze up your ass and get drunk, right?
There's not much you can put up your butt.
It's
a small bowel where the nutrition is absorbed, not the colon.
Not the colon.
Mm-mm.
But yet you'll absorb alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
So what if you had some sort of nutrient shake?
That you could get in there?
That you could... You know, put a funnel in your ass and dump some Gatorade in there.
Those size molecules aren't nutritionally sized. You know, those
not going to work.
Protein.
So I cram a bucket of these honey roasted nuts up my ass. I'm not going to get anything.
Nothing's going
to
happen.
We'll be right back.
Would you let one go? All right, we're taking a break. I'm getting out of here.
Love line. 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Hey, everybody. Love line. I'm Adam. That's my partner and sometimes lover, Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Who we talking to here, Drew? Wants to know pointers about giving a BJ. Okay. All right. No, that sounds good. Well, let's save that one. Let's take the sad one first. Theo.
Yeah. How's it going?
You're 24.
Yes, indeed.
What's up?
My little brother killed himself a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. A month ago. It's going on, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? It was July 13th.
Oh, my God. Just happened. Had he been struggling with depression for a while?
Apparently. It wasn't something that, stood out or anything, but it...
Wait. You guys had no idea he had a severe depression?
No, not at all.
He
left a note that said that he had a problem, but it didn't really go into it, and we're just going with the depression idea because... We have nothing to base it on.
How old was he?
He was 21.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, we were like 3 years apart.
This was definitely, it wasn't like he was murder or anything.
Oh, right? No. He like bought the gun that day in the car with the whole deal.
Do we have any idea what the problem was?
No.
Left up in the air. Let's not live in the past, Drew.
Well, I mean, I'm doing good, and that's my problem. My question is, I have no idea. I was upset up until the memorial and all, and from there, I've been pretty good. And I mean, I get shaky sometimes thinking about it, but I can easily just tune it out and not think about it at all.
Well, and it actually is important to think about it.
Well, I know, but at the same time, I don't feel like I'm up for it because it's just not one of those, you know, it's no fun. I've been dealing with it. I heard the girl call up about comedy and stuff earlier. That was great advice, by the way, Mr. Adam.
Thank you.
I've been dealing with lots of writing.
Good, that's good.
That's just how I'm going about it. Do lots of comedy writing, keep myself laughing, and avoid thinking about it. Whatsoever.
Well, avoiding thinking about it, the avoidance piece is problematic.
It's not so much an avoidance as much as I can change my thought pattern quick enough to where I don't harp on it too long.
Well, maybe you never liked the guy.
Oh, no. I mean, we were, the best of friends and everything.
Have you accepted his death?
I mean, yeah. I mean, I've been here.
Drew, what do you mean?
Because people will say, oh, no, I can't think about it. It's still too unreal to me. It's like a dream, this kind of thing.
Right.
That's not accepting.
I know, but you know the guy's dead. I mean,
no,
look.
Adam, people will say, no, I'm having trouble accepting it.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Well, that's the terminology they'll use, but it's hard to argue that they don't know the person's dead.
No,
they're blocking it out. Fine. Okay, look, let me say this, Drew. Quit shaking your head. I know it hurts you because I'm such an expert at everything.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about the human condition. Everybody does this. It's like you get your leg bitten off by a shark, you don't feel it.
Right.
You know, the pain sets in later.
Yeah.
You lose a loved one tragically. You don't feel it for a while. I mean, you're shocked by it. But I think it's too overwhelming to feel initially. I think it's a good thing the way the nerves work in a human body that when the leg gets hacked off by the shark, you don't feel it. I think it's the same thing with Theo and his brother.
That's what your brain will do, which is, what do people say when they get involved in a car accident or something? They'll say first thing is like, it was like a dream. It wasn't real.
It was like a dream.
That's what your brain does.
Right.
And that's what I was probing with him to see if he'd gotten over that phase yet. Because the next phase is grief.
Yeah, and that's where he'll be soon.
He's a month into it. Yeah,
3 weeks. He said, "Give him a little, give him a few beats. Yeah. He'll break down while he's crying, and like he'll be driving his car and like Starry Starry Night by Jim. Who's the guy who sung American Pie?
Yeah, who was that guy? Oh, what an awful more 70s crap.
Jim,
no. Oh, Jim...
John McClane.
John McClane, yeah.
Jim... No, Bob McClane.
Huh?
Bob McAllister. McClane. Now, come on. Oh, please. You guys. Look, you don't know the name of the guy who sung American Pie? Bob McClane.
I think it was Madonna.
No.
That was a joke.
Anderson says Madonna. I know, he's kidding. Really, is there any... Could there be any less helpful people in the United States? That was a huge song.
Yeah.
McClane. That... Bob Mc... John. Jim... Jim, all right, now I'm going nuts. I'm going to Theo.
Who cares?
What?
Don McLean.
Don McLean, thank you.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, you all right. You know what I am on this show? King of the tards. I'm an idiot in the outside world. I come in here, I'm a genius, because I got this for competition. Nobody. And you know the thing that kills me about this place, too? We age range 20 to 45. We still know nothing between us. Lidsville, never heard of it. Don McLean, the guy had a number one song for me. No, nothing. Name the song? No. And then meanwhile, I smoke too much weed, so I can only come up with like half the answer. And then I sit here like a retard until one of the callers phones it in. We should all be ashamed of ourselves. Don McLean. Jim McLean. John McLean. Come on.
I was trying.
That's not enough.
We were struggling.
I gave you 85% of the goddamn thing. You couldn't pop in with the rest? Starry, starry night. Paint your can. There's a song about Vincent van Gogh. All right, Theo?
Yeah.
Okay. Look, call us in a month if you still haven't sobbed over this.
How are your folks doing?
I wanted to say also, Drew, you're a wonderful and passionate man, but more Adam, you're wonderful and inspirational, a genius possibly, even if you wet yourself every 8 months or so, and I love you all to death. You're great.
6 months, thank you.
Theo, how are your folks doing?
I think it's driving my dad crazy. They're not together or anything, my dad's really taken, you know, it crazy. He's really going crazy over it. My mom...
Is he trying to figure out what went wrong, why he missed it?
I don't think so much of that. It's just, I mean, he's just dealing with it, but it's just really hitting him really hard.
Why isn't
really
anyone trying
tight.
To figure out what happened here?
I know. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, I'm hoping that one day something... I'm kind of, you know, almost relieved that I don't know, just because I think it would make it seem that much more, you know, stupid
right.
that he did it.
Listen.
And I'm trying to look at it that way.
He's never been one of those sort of dramatic guys.
Look.
Just curious.
And once in a while, somebody's just really sincere about dying.
Yeah, no kidding.
And don't you believe there's a certain amount of people that were put on this earth just to kill themselves?
No, I don't believe that.
I do. As a doctor, I have to think that way.
Yeah, that's nice.
But there's just certain people I just think were just, they just don't like life. I know that sounds like a Neanderthal comment, but what I mean is there's people that don't brag about it, they don't talk about it, they don't threaten it, they just do it.
Oh, yeah. Those are the most dangerous ones.
Obviously, they're depressed, but they don't give off any signs, and it's like they're just so profoundly depressed that there's just really no help in them.
Yes, there is.
Well, there would be if they gave a sign
right,
that they're
serious,
but
yeah.
they don't want to. They're right. serious about it. They're right. serious about dying. They buy a gun. They don't. It's not a cry for help. They want out. All right, we'll get out.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. Loveline. Drew's just announced he has horrible gas, which is bad because it's that medical-grade gas. You know, they talk about that medical-grade Coke.
Yeah, right.
That's what
pharmaceutical
this is.
Grade.
That's pharmaceutical.
And you announced me.
Pharmaceutical gas.
Lucky.
Yeah, lucky. You know why Drew's lucky with the gas is he knows just what to eat to give it to him. And he ate that tonight.
No, I didn't even. That's the thing.
Well, you got little traces of it. Little taste of garlic.
Didn't even taste that. Tasted chive. Tasted green onion.
But garlic will do it too, right? Drew told me once that if he hugged an Italian guy, he would get gas.
Yeah.
He's that allergic
to garlic.
I had to breathe
deep, but yeah.
All right. Well, tell me when something happens, would you?
Why? You'll know soon enough.
All right. Amanda?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not too long ago, my boyfriend gave me oral sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just looking for a few pointers, like, to return the favor, like, to make it better for him.
You want to give him oral sex?
Yeah.
Did he do it at such an especially astonishing job with you?
Actually, he did.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice. All right. And you didn't return the favor that evening?
No, I had to go to work.
How old is he?
He's 15.
Wow. And you had to go to work, huh?
I did.
Where do you work?
I work over in Santee. I'm a photographer over there.
Santee?
Oh, we're photographer over in Santee?
Yeah.
Santee's not like a
what
foster,
is Santee?
Foster what? Freeze or something?
What is Santee?
What is Santee?
Yeah.
Like
hey,
where?
Hey,
what is it?
Amanda?
Yes.
Let me explain a concept to you.
Okay.
We do not hail from the San Diego area.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So Santee.
Santee is by, it's a town. It's a town.
You're a photographer in that town?
Yeah. I take sports photos for like little leagues and stuff like
there
that.
There we go. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we're with you.
Yeah. Hey, you know my buddy John?
Oh, John?
No, you don't.
Yeah.
That's why I would say my buddy before I said John. Okay, so you want to give your boyfriend a BJ?
Yeah.
All right.
And I was just looking for a few pointers to make it more enjoyable for him.
Do you want to do this?
Yeah.
You do?
I do.
Because I feel somewhat obligated to tell 15-year-old girls not to do it, but if you're hell-bent on doing it, it's your boyfriend.
Well, just her enthusiasm will be sufficient.
Right.
That's all.
Okay, well, thanks.
Yeah, you'll be fine. There's no bad BJs.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah.
There's nothing you can practice on, and there's not much discussion. Personally, I'll tell you what I'll do, because I feel bad about telling Amanda what to do, but I'll just tell you what I enjoy. Doesn't that make it better somehow, Drew?
Yeah, somehow you're skirting the ethics. Yeah, okay.
I like rhythm. Don't be hopping all over the place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, leave the balls alone. That's basically what I'm saying. Just gonna. You don't do this, Amanda, but if anyone wants to give me one, that's what I like.
You can caress the balls. You can gently pet them. You can stroke them. You can juggle them from side to side to side. To side, but don't punch the balls.
Wow. I miss those guys.
Insane Clown Posse, everybody. All right. She's over in Santee. Yeah. You know where that is?
No, I do.
Veronica?
Yeah, hi.
You're 26?
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I have a 7-year-old son, mm-hmm. and he's taken to really liking a lot of girl things lately.
Mm-hmm.
When my husband and I became parents 7 years ago, we had resolved not to raise our children with the usual boy and girl stereotypes.
Sure.
And, yet your male and female offspring quickly straightened you out, I'm sure.
Well, not this one.
No, but I mean, well, the biology plays itself out.
Up to now, we've been pretty pleased that we've pretty much not enforced stereotypes on them, but up to now they've been the most stereotypical little boy and little girl
we'd
ever meet.
That's the way they all are.
And,
you hand any 8-year-old male a stick, and it is a sword immediately.
Oh yes.
You hand that to your daughter, and she'll put it on the ground and look at it. And go, what is this?
Well,
then that is. And I don't care. I don't care if they're raised
a dress on it.
Yeah, I don't care if they are raised in a vacuum. That's how they'll behave.
Upright or canister.
Upright.
Okay. Well, let me say my piece about the stereotype too. See. People sort of think, and my mom was this way too, the man has somehow imposed his will, and what the man likes to do is he likes to put everyone in a compartment,
uh-huh.
and pigeonhole everyone, and assign these specific gender identification things to this, and assign this to that. But here's the reality of it. Nobody figured it out in advance. People did it in advance for millions of years, and that's how it became the way it is.
Right, exactly.
Boys like guns and swords, girls like dolls and makeup, and that's how they started it, not the man.
Oh, right, I know.
Right, so now...
So my question is
the girly stuff. No.
I sell cosmetics, and I oftentimes have little sample lipsticks and eyeshadows and stuff at home that I occasionally let my kids play with. And one particular day, my daughter was actually giving my son, they're 6 and 7, my daughter's 6 and my son is 7, and she was giving him a little makeover.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex told me that he really liked this, and he asked me what a boy who likes girl things is called. And I said, well, sometimes when boys grow up and they like to dress up in girl things, they're called drag queens. And he's dubbed himself a drag queen and has told me that he loves girl stuff now, and that's all he wants to do. And
hi, Mommy. I'm gay.
Taken by surprise.
Well, no, this may, you know, this doesn't, you know.
What? Drew, you'd be going through the roof when your sons did this.
No, I wouldn't, because it doesn't have anything to do with anything, really, although it suggests that he may be developing a little bit of a fetish. And fetish doesn't, you know, that just means it's a way of managing feelings.
I don't see anything wrong with it. It just took me so much by surprise, because he's been the stereotypical boy up until now.
Right.
And now he likes to march around I'm tripping over my own tongue.
Sorry. Now what happened?
When my daughter made him all up, he went and put on one of her toy necklaces and marched outside to the neighbor's house and announced he was a drag queen.
How's his relationship with you been?
Oh, he loves me. He's a sweetheart.
Have you been consistently available for him?
Yes.
You haven't been away working, that kind of thing?
No. No, I've been an at-home mom for...
But there wasn't a period where you were sick or away or taken away or anything like
no.
that?
No.
How did he adjust to... Well, he was one when your daughter came along?
Yes.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
Any no aggression in the house or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Yeah, it's fine.
All right.
You'll see. It'll be what it's going to be.
Get him like a shotgun and a Molly Hatchet CD, and let's see if we can't lure him back over here.
He loves playing swords, and he loves playing outer space stuff.
All right.
One of his favorite cartoons is Dragon Ball Z, so he's still all boy.
Some of this is just individuating from mom. It really is. It's dealing with the distance from mom.
Why is he dressing like mom?
Well, they start taking on aspects of mom as a way of managing the fact they're pulling away from her. It's a fetish. That's what fetish is.
Marched over to the neighbors and announced he was a drag queen.
That's fine.
That'd be pretty funny for the neighbors. I'll tell you, I may get my kid to do that even if they don't want to. It'd be fun for the neighbors.
Well, that'd be healthy.
don't read too much into it. And it really is not a whole lot you can do about it anyway.
No.
If he's hell-bent on this lifestyle. You're fine.
It doesn't mean a damn thing.
Hide the cosmetics. It doesn't mean anything, but you'd be freaked out if your sons were marching around announcing the drag queens, Drew. You know you would. Thank you. Skyler?
Hey, what's up, Adam? You're a funny bastard.
Hey, thanks, Skyler. You're 20. What's up?
Hey, also, I just want to say, Drew, my friends and I have been noticing lately you've been funny, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've been chiming in. I think Adam's been teaching you well.
Yeah, he has been. You are my master.
He's hysterical, like when he punches the microphone and then smacks it with his coffee mug.
Yeah, I picked up a good new trick tonight.
Yeah.
Gas or what?
Yeah.
You are my teacher.
He's got the gas going. He's hysterical.
Basically, what we're wondering is, one of our friends has had a crush on this really hot chick for a long time, and nothing seems to be moving there. And we're wondering, how long do the dibs last? You know, I mean, what's the etiquette there? What if he never nabs her after like a year?
They mean there's more than one interested in your little group,
right? Why would you not be interested in this chick? You know, she's the best.
Who is the girl
in relation to you guys?
The group? Yeah. Yes,
she's just a friend.
She's a friend to everybody,
right?
Who brought her into the group?
He did. It's his friend.
Bad times.
He met her first.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd he meet her?
But. You know, how long do you wait?
Where did he meet her?
Through like a theater group kind of thing, and I do short films and stuff, so he's kind of brought her in to act in a movie that I'm doing.
Okay, couple of questions.
Okay.
Has he made a move?
No.
He will not make a move. He got into the friendship thing,
right?
And he's now screwed up because he's in too deep.
Probably.
I think, though, you guys need to throw down the gauntlet.
Right.
Yeah. Say, look, hey, if you make the move, great, it's yours. But otherwise, we reserve the right to move in.
Do you think she has an interest in you?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, who knows? We all would hope she has an interest in us. You know, we'd like to find out. But, you know, you don't want to step on your friend's toes because he had dibs, you know?
Yeah, but he... Now
well,
he,
that's not the way my friends thought.
Oh.
It was every a-hole for themselves. You know, I'll tell you, one of the greatest stories ever, I know I've told this on the air, but it just bears repeating, is when my buddy buddy Ray was carrying on with my buddy Chris's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And these are two big, volatile guys. I mean, you know them now in their later 30s. You should have seen them at 21, 22.
No.
About 20 pounds heavier and a lot more beaked up on testosterone and drugs and stuff.
No.
And Ray was carrying on with Chris's girl. And they'd been boyfriend-girlfriend for a long time. And, you know, if Chris found out, you know, someone could have died kind of thing. And at a party once, my friend Snake, he walked in on Ray and this girl making out. And he was dumbfounded. He couldn't believe it. And the first thing he wanted to do was go tell Chris because he's one of Chris's good friends.
Ugh.
And they grabbed him and said, no, don't do it. I mean, this is going to be holy hell if he finds out. And Todd said, look, if you make out with me, I won't tell. I love this story. And she was like, are you high? And he was like, all right, I'm going back to the party. I'm going to go tell Chris. And they like stopped him. And Ray said, make out with him.
For how long? Did he keep going? Now I want you to do X, Y,
Z. No, they just made out. I mean, like tongues and everything while Ray stood there. I love that story.
What kind of just garbage did you hang out with?
That's good thinking. It's like thinking on the fly. And how often do you have a guy who's in love with a chick saying, make out with him.
Ordering him.
Use your tongue.
Except I can easily imagine Ray to do that. No problem.
All right. So anyway, you need to tell him, yes, I agree with Drew. You need to say to him, look, it's time to ass or get off the pot.
Yeah, you have 2 weeks you get it together, let it be known.
You need to ask her out.
Yeah, and if you know it doesn't work out, we you know let us right. let us have at it.
And by the way, you're doing the guy a favor by telling him
absolutely.
To get going with
and
it.
And you're doing the woman a favor too. She may be attracted to one of these guys and be wondering why they're not letting it be known.
Thank you. All right, let's speak to Sage, who's 16. Sage.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah. My friends and like my family are starting to suspect that I'm subconsciously like racist against my own race or something.
Your friends and your family are what?
They're suggesting that subconsciously I'm maybe like racist against my own race or something.
Why? What's happening?
Because like most of my friends are like white, and the guys I date they're also white and stuff.
Do you go to a school where you don't have a lot of opportunity to interact with African American? Are you African American?
Yeah, I mean because like they don't really like talk to me that much because you know I don't have a big butt or like I don't speak Ebonics or something, you know.
Well, those statements sound a little racist. They're a little angry at least.
Well, you're black. You can say whatever you want.
Yeah, but that's not. It's not like
that's the rule.
I mean. She got a little bit gritty,
energy,
you know, energy. It's not like, hey, they don't talk to me. I don't know. I just have a chance to meet them. I only talk to me because I don't talk Ebonics.
No,
that's
wild. It's really like that. I mean, like I'll say something, and they'll kind of like look at me like, what is she saying? She's like kind of using higher diction there.
Yeah, maybe it's the way you're saying it that they feel sort of put off, though.
Well, listen. Don't listen to Drew. You're more attracted to white guys than you are to black guys.
Yeah, I don't like the gold teeth and stuff.
Well, hold on a second. First off, not all of them have gold teeth.
I'm
there's
not
like 25% of blacks don't have gold teeth. I just read something.
I'm not saying that. I'm not. No, just like most of the guys who like try and come up and talk to me, they're either like real, like 30, and you know, they like use the pickup lines like "How you doing?" or something.
Right. All right. Mexicans have silver teeth, right? They don't have the gold teeth. Blacks have the gold teeth.
There is no racial bigotry here.
But you wouldn't like any guy treating you like that, right?
Yeah.
That's not a race thing.
Okay.
But I'm just, what I'm want to probe into a little bit here is why every time she mentions black guys, immediately follows a dig. I mean, immediately.
No, it's not like that. It's just like the guys, I'm not saying like all black guys are like this because, you know, but like the guys I've met, you know.
Yeah.
Or have been that way. I'm not going to say stuff about people I don't even meet.
Well, let me float this theory. Don't you think, as trying to figure out a non-racial way to say this, but don't you think black guys are at their blackest when they're like 17, 18, and 19?
Culturally.
Then there's more like yo-yo-yo in a 19-year-old black guy than there's a 40-year-old black guy?
Well, like guys who like, more guys who come on to me are like in their like early 30s and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, look, for whatever reason, you're not attracted to black guys, just like there's white guys who are only into Asian chicks. Like, and everyone has kind of their preference. Do you know what I mean? I got a black friend who's only into Asian chicks.
Number one.
He's totally screwed, by the way.
Why?
Because they're all come from that culture. They don't want to date them black guys.
Well, that's the Koreans.
He's making it hard on himself. Oh, the Koreans? Well, he'll take anything. All right. Sage.
Yeah.
And so, beside you not wanting to date them, are you saying things? I mean, your family's black, right?
Yeah.
Are you saying things in front of them?
No, I'm not saying, like I'm not, like, a bigot or anything. It's just, like, my sister, she, like, dates, like, a lot of black guys, and she has all these black friends, and my friends are, like, Asian and white and stuff. And
yeah, that's good. We got some diversity going there. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I think maybe you're thinking about it too much.
The family
just really shocked me when they said, "I'm like, you're probably like racist." I mean, you don't go out with black guys or anything and stuff, and you listen to this kind of music and look at the way you dress and stuff.
Well, what do you listen to?
I listen to Korn. Everybody listen to Korn. Okay.
Oh, okay. Hey, listen to Korn, right?
Notice the acknowledgments to Adam Carolla, the Korn album.
Let me float this. I don't like the premise or the theory that everyone's got to stick by their own race.
No, I agree with you.
I was just thinking about it the other day. There's millions and millions of white kids who listen to black music, and that's what they're into. I mean, the executive producer of the Man Show, the guy's albino white. He only listens to like funk and soul.
Who?
You know, Daniel Kelson's all he listens to.
That's comical, though.
Yeah, it is. But that's all he listens to. No one gives him a hard time.
Now your theory's shot. People should stick to their own stuff. Daniel, it's disturbing thinking about him.
Plenty of white people like black music, right. And most black people like black music. And you're a black chick who likes white music. So
white music.
That's fine.
Everybody can see music, you know. I thought you can just hear it, but
you know, this is a topic
I'm
we
giving
literally
it a title.
We could spin on this all night. We
okay.
really could.
Sage,
I detect a little energy in Sage. I don't. I think
yes.
you need to examine what you're angry about and look at that.
Angry?
And let me ask you this: Do you have any like? Do you like your dad?
No.
Okay.
You don't.
Well, there you
okay.
Go.
So there's a black male. And there's an example of a black male you don't like, and that's a very important black male in your life.
They all then become like dad, or you at least expect them to be like dad.
Right.
Or you expect them to make you feel the way dad made you feel. Did your dad strike you or hit you?
He used to sexually abuse me a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, there you go.
Look, that's enough.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But
understand that may be where it's coming from, Sage.
And you listen to this show, you hear how people, particularly when women dislike their fathers for various reasons, all men become dad. That's it.
But look, what about this theory? Isn't this sort of how the human psyche works? You grow up, you get attacked by a German Shepherd. When you're three, you're scared of German Shepherds. You don't like them.
No, you become a veterinarian.
Oh, shut up.
It's true.
Just go, oh, shut up.
And then at nine, you're afraid of them.
Oh, would you shut up and just go along with me?
Right.
You get attacked by a German Shepherd. You see a German Shepherd coming down the street.
You freak out.
You get scared.
Yeah.
Okay. She was sexually abused by a black man who was her dad. Now she's a little freaked out by black guys.
Yep.
Doesn't want any part of them.
Right.
I think that's natural.
Mm.
She needs to work. And I'll tell you what Sage needs to do. Date white guys all you want. Meanwhile, get a little therapy. Not for the black part, but for the rape part, for the sexual abuse part. And I bet things slowly start to come into focus. Yes?
Yeah, maybe.
All right. We'll take a little break. When we come back, we'll be back.
Oh, Love Line. We'll be right back. Call on the 1-800-LOVE.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm just finishing my notes here. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. What's happening there, Drew?
This is hysterical. Let's go to this.
Oh, it is?
This question I've never heard on Love Line.
Really?
Yeah. Jason.
15 years. Never heard
20,
it. Jason?
What's going on?
Hello. How you doing?
Go ahead.
All right. I'm 20 years old, and I had never been to a strip club until about last week.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got there, of course, my friends made me get a lap dance.
Uh-huh.
And so I got a lap dance, and just to let you know, just first sight of this girl, she's like, pretty much the most beautiful girl I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
And then I have her sitting there in front of me, just shaking her butt in my face and putting my face between her breasts. And I got to say, I pretty much fallen in love, and I can't stop thinking about her at all.
And so what's the question?
So, I mean, is there any way to tell if, like, a stripper is actually into you, or is it just she wants your money, and then so give her your money?
How do you tell if a stripper likes you?
Well, They'll hang out when they're off the clock with you.
Well, they'll come find you?
Yeah, I mean, they'll sit there. They'll let a song or two pass, and they'll just sit there and chat with you. If you're not feeding them money, and you don't look like a high roller.
Okay.
Otherwise, they keep asking.
Would that count if she gave you a lap dance, like a couple songs extra for free?
No.
You see, it's all very hard to tell with the strippers because they're a diabolical breed. Their whole job, see, basically, you know how a car salesman's job is to have you believe that you trust him?
Yeah.
Like where he puts his arm around you and goes, look, I don't normally do this for guys, but you seem like a pretty good guy and I'm going to level with you. And then he gives you a whole big line of BS about how you have to buy the winter zinc protection for another $1,400 and all that nonsense. Strippers are experts at making each and every guy feel special. You know what I'm saying? And they think that way they can bilk more money out of them.
They can.
Now, on the other hand, Jason,
uh-huh.
I, as a civilian, Not the superstar, genius, sage, millionaire, literally millionaire Adam Carolla that you guys all hear now on your radio. I, as a civilian, picked up a stripper and made her my girlfriend.
How did you do that?
I went back to the same club.
How many times?
Oh, not like 4,500 or something like that. I just
sat there. And would you ask for her?
Some days I didn't go afternoons. I just went in the evening.
Did you just ask for her?
I went there and went there and went there. Her stage name was Catlin. Uh-huh. And I'd always announce to my buddies, let's go for a CAT scan, I'd always say.
They must have thought, oh, Coral, you were so lame. You were so pathetic.
I dug her. She was hot. And we went over there, and actually, one of my friends who is now divorced, but for his bachelor party, we went there, and I got a ride home from her, and, you know.
That was like the 400th time you were there?
Or? Yeah. Yeah. So, Jason.
Yeah.
The important thing is the strippers deal with a lot of maniacs. A lot of guys they're scared of.
All right, well, here's
so you got to show up time and time again and let her know you're safe.
That's the thing, though. I actually have shown up a couple times, and I actually became friends with the doorman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was friends with her. And one night, we actually, all of us, a bunch of strippers and I and the doorman, we went to Denny's and ate. And since then, I've been having her call me saying if I'm going to go to the club. Now, is that she's calling me to go to the club to throw down some more money?
Hold on a second. You've been having her call you, or she's been calling
you? She'll call me to see if I'm going to the club. Not like, hey, do you want to go do something sometime? It's, hey, are you going to be at the club tonight? Because I'm going to be there.
Are you a real good-looking guy?
I wouldn't say I'm ugly, but I wouldn't say I'm really good-looking.
Why just that?
Have you slept with many women?
Yeah.
You have?
Yes.
Now, why is it a guy who's closed as many deals as you've closed can't close a deal on a stripper who's calling him at home?
It seems a little awkward to me.
How many women have you slept with?
Five.
It's not a whole lot of closing going on there, but that's all right. That's fine.
Well, I've done my fair share of seducing without actual having sex.
What do you mean, like third base?
Yeah.
No, okay. Jason. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure out. Here's what I'm trying to figure out about Jason. He sounds a little spazzy on the phone.
Yeah.
Yet he's no stranger to the ladies, and he's picked up a few in his day. He's already weaseled his way into this stripper's life, and somehow she's calling him at home. I'm not sure if I believe it, but let's just say why he can't pick it up from that point.
You know, some of these women are very disturbed, and so he may be sort of.
How dare you?
There's a lot of personality pathology there, and he may be picking up on that and not figuring out how to deal with
she's
it.
She's just trying to get through college. Jason?
Yeah.
The next time she calls you, you ask her if she wants to go out and get a cup of coffee when she gets off.
Okay.
What if she says, oh, yeah, me and my friends are planning to do that?
Well,
we'll see you.
You just keep working it. You got to get her outside of that club, and you got to get her alone.
Oh, that's also hard because she also has a kid.
Yeah. Does she have to go right home after that?
I don't know. I haven't really talked to her on a personal basis much.
Look.
Except for when I'm at the club, then.
How does the part go where she's calling you at home, though?
Well, because when we were at Denny's, I gave her my number and said, you can call me if you ever want to hang out.
And you didn't call her.
No.
I
don't do that. I don't get girls' phone numbers. I do it the other way, where I give my phone number.
Yeah, I'm that way, too, because you know what? I got a chick's phone number once. Next thing you know, I was getting a blowjob. I learned a valuable lesson. No more getting numbers from chicks. I don't know. And, you know, I'm at the point where I don't even answer the phone. Could be a chick calling. Smart. Smart move. Shrewd. Yes.
We've had a whole rash of callers.
There are special rules. Listen, are you an expert or are you a novice? Because you're telling me both. You know, you got this stripper calling you. Next time she calls, you say, yep, I'm coming in. Here's what you do. I'm coming into the club, but I'm coming in a little bit late. So how about I swing by, get a lap dance or two, and then we'll go out and get a cup of coffee afterward. All right? That's it. All right. And believe me, she's got the kid. She's working at a strip club. There's some baggage there.
Yeah, that's the point. He may be picking up on that, not knowing quite what to do with it.
No, he's not picking up on that. He's trying to make a move on her, and he can't figure it out.
B, because of the stuff she's putting
she's
out.
She's sending mixed messages?
Yeah.
Oh, not that she's sending scary messages?
Right. It's just an awkward situation. She may not know whether to exploit or not this guy. You know what I mean?
All right.
Maybe he's spending tons of money at the club. And she's like, yeah, come on in.
I hate those dicks with that. I don't get their number policy. I give out mine. Makes me feel like an idiot. You know what I mean?
And by the way, that basically means you're just too scared to call someone.
Yeah. Stacy?
Yeah?
You're 24?
Yep.
What's up?
I wanted to ask Dr. Drew a question about hepatitis. Back in October, I was diagnosed with hepatitis B.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, how bad is it actually on your liver to drink alcohol?
Do you still have it?
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
So you have chronic B. Not acute B, but chronic B.
I don't know. I don't know the difference between the two.
One goes away and the other doesn't.
Is acute mean goes away?
Acute means sudden and, you know, intense.
They always kind of use it as sudden and intense. Yeah. They don't use the go away part.
Well, chronic means it persists.
All right.
Well, the doctor said it was not going to go away.
You have B, not C. Is that right?
Right. I have B.
All right. The people that get cirrhosis with chronic viral hepatitis are the ones that drink, period. So if you want cirrhosis and you want liver cancer, keep using alcohol.
How much can she drink?
None.
None?
Mm-mm. How did you get hepatitis B, just out of curiosity?
I'm not sure. I believe I got it from a tattoo.
You're not, never tried IV drugs?
No.
Never slept with an IV drug user?
No. Nope. And I've had the same boyfriend for a little over a year and a half. And he's been tested, and he doesn't have it. And I'm on Depo-Vera, so we have sex without condoms.
Hmm. Are you starting to practice safe sex now, or did you get him the vaccine?
No, he got the vaccine. He's all done with that.
All right, good.
We used condoms after I was diagnosed until he was done with his shot.
Good.
Drew, what's the liver doctor called? The
hepatologist.
Hepatologist. Damn, is she talked down? No drinking at all?
No drinking.
Let me say this, Drew.
Hmm.
I run into it with the cigarette smokes, you know. I've cut back on cigarettes. Don't smoke that much. Nah, I don't do the man show. I don't smoke during the day now. You know what I don't like? And this is a medical thing. I always see it as it pertains to cigarettes, but it does to booze sometimes too. Somehow, in the medical community, you can definitely make the distinction between a guy who eats a steak once or twice a week or has a chili burger once or twice a week and a guy who's living off of junk food. There's a difference.
Not necessarily, but go ahead.
Well, look, when you talk about a guy's diet, you'll let any patient of yours slip up a little bit once in a while.
Oh,
he has a generally good diet.
Oh, sure.
But if the guy's living over Derwiener schnitzel, you're going to say something.
Right.
Now, the thing about cigarettes I've always found, medical people, whatever. You know, you say to somebody, look, I smoke 5 ultralight cigarettes. Blah, 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 that's bad. You got to quit. You go, listen, there's guys who smoke 3 packs of Marlboro Reds. Same thing. That's no different. I don't think they believe you is what it is.
Yeah.
But if this girl, but it's always the same rap. It's like, no, you can't do it. No, you got to quit,
Well, nicotine, it's risks for different things at different intensity of use. Any use of nicotine can put your risk for vascular disease, any. If you want the lung cancer and the emphysema, you got to smoke the 3 packs a day.
Right.
But you smoke one cigarette a day, you're putting yourself at risk for heart disease.
You're putting yourself at risk, but as big a risk as if you smoke another 19 of them in that day?
Probably not.
I know, but why so hard with that? Why is it like the same?
Yeah.
Why is every doctor say, no, you smoke one? No, you might as well just get a job at Philip Morris testing cigarettes. No, it's no different. No, why? What's so different about the goddamn cigarettes than anything else? I mean, like I said, if you said, look, I ate a chili dog, they'd be like, all right, yeah, I ate 20 chili dogs. They'd say that'd be a big difference. Right? I mean, she has a liver problem. She drinks a glass of wine, that's bad. She drinks a bottle of wine, that's bad. It's real bad, right?
Worse, yeah. But
why do we got to get into that, just none?
Because
we don't believe them with the glass, the one glass.
Well, there is that issue, sure.
That's my theory. Yeah. Nobody believes it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's see. If you had chronic hepatitis, you wouldn't be thinking about drinking. You'd be like, holy Christ, I got to figure out a way to make sure that I don't get cirrhosis here. And when you look at people that get cirrhosis, they all use alcohol. The risks of cirrhosis go up astronomically when you use alcohol, whatever that means.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. I've got to yell more, Drew, about this off the air, and we'll be right back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Yeah. Drew dropped a good gas bomb in here during the break. It's bad times over here. Usually my first line of defense is taking my T-shirt and putting the crew neck right around the nose and breathing some of my own scent and using the filtration that is woven into the natural cotton fibers. But I'm wearing a goddamn polyester button-up shirt, and it's worthless.
You've been wearing that shirt since the Man Show rap party. How long have the Man Show been wrapped?
We're going to take the
how
calls.
How long?
3 weeks. Okay. A month.
All right,
Let me give everyone some insight into how lazy I am. Do you know why I've been wearing this shirt every night?
Because you're lazy.
Yes. Because I live in a house that has an upstairs and a downstairs.
Oh, my God.
And this shirt has remained downstairs.
Yeah.
And when it comes time to get dressed to do the show, I'm so lazy, I don't want to walk upstairs.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I get whatever's downstairs is whatever I wear. That's why I'm wearing shorts. I never wear shorts. These happen to me downstairs. That is how lazy I am. David?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Me and my girlfriend have been going out for about a year now.
Mm-hmm.
And she is becoming friends with a guy. And, you know, they've known each other for a while. And there was probably some attraction, like, right before we went out. And I'm wondering if it's, like, okay to be jealous or, like, be uneasy about that.
How do you know there was attraction?
Because she told me.
What do you mean they're talking?
I mean, they're, like, becoming closer and closer friends.
Mm. Mm. What you're sensing is what his motivation is. And you know he's sort of got the eye of the tiger going a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And do you trust her? Or she told you that she's not...
Hold on. Drew has the ass of the hippo going tonight. He's farting up this whole studio.
Please.
Yeah. yeah, I would be worried about this, David.
It's a little disrespectful of her in terms of protecting your feelings.
Yeah.
However, isn't this just what 15, 16, 17-year-olds do?
Yes.
They're busy trying to gratify themselves and get some esteem and validation. And
well, you know what they do? It just struck me. You spend your whole childhood pushing your parents, seeing how much they'll take.
Yeah.
And then you go right from that to your boyfriend or girlfriend.
Right.
You start pushing on them to see when they'll snap, how much they'll take.
And I don't want to do that. It's just like...
No, she's doing that to you.
Oh. Well,
what do you mean she's moving along with this guy?
It's not that she's moving along. It's just like they're becoming friends. And I trust her completely. I'm not worried about her cheating on me or anything. I'm worried about, like...
Him.
Her becoming attracted to him and then them leaving me.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Do you know the guy at all?
Oh, yeah. I know him, like, pretty well, I guess.
Yeah, is he a charming guy?
Yeah.
Would you blow him? Be honest.
I might.
Yeah, well, me too. Okay. I think you should have a little talk with her.
Okay.
And here's how you do it.
Mm.
Not that women respond to any kind
of
logic. No. You say this, seriously. Drew, you let another one go? Or
no,
your
I'm
neck,
just thinking.
You hurt your neck on your last
one.
I'm
just thinking how painful that age is, 15, 16. That was you. No.
Man, let's go.
Don't start me.
We don't start you. You started. You drew first blood, man. Hey, David?
Yeah?
What if you said to her, look, I understand you guys are friends and so on and so forth, but imagine if there was a young lady who was attractive, who I told you I was attracted to, who I now was sort of pursuing a friendship with. Wouldn't that make you uncomfortable? I mean, it's not a great feeling. See, okay. Bring it up there. Flip-flop it that way. Don't start yelling at her.
Okay. Is she giving you any of this, though? You know, you're being too uptight. I want to be with my friends. This kind of thing?
No, she doesn't do that.
All right.
I mean, really, like...
Okay. Do the old flip-flop. Pick one of her hot friends and use her as an example. Juan?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, actually, I wanted to make a comment about, say... You know, about as far as her disliking black males.
Right.
That have cornrows and stuff like that.
Right.
Can't really judge a book by its cover.
Right.
Granted enough, we already catch hell. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
Yeah, you can.
Okay, we catch hell as it is, as being young black men. But also, she should remember that as a black woman, she's mother of creation first. And that she won't, if she don't take the hatred out of her heart, she'll wind up becoming just like what she hates.
Because
she didn't forgive.
Right.
You know?
Figure she thinks she should forgive her father for what happened to her, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
Right?
And at the same time, also remember, just because your father done that to you doesn't necessarily mean that someone else will. You know?
Yeah. But that's all rational thought.
Yeah.
I mean, and you're right on paper, but this is a girl that was traumatized sexually by her father, and that's burned into her psyche.
Exactly.
And she's a young woman, and she's not worked those issues out yet, so she still has... She's still being driven by that energy.
But you know, it, just like you had an analogy with a German shepherd walking up after a three-year-old was bitten by the dog,
uh-huh.
You know, Juan's making the point that, you know, walk up and pet the dogs and, you know that some of them are okay. And
you're saying black men are dogs?
No, relax. And Juan sounds like a nice guy and wants to remind her that there are some decent guys out there and
right.
to be open to it. And that's appropriate.
Juan is right, but, you know, and I don't want to play devil's advocate here, but... It's so hard to talk away things that people feel.
Oh, yeah.
Especially when they're young. And that's why she needs to do some work on herself. But,
yeah, but not going to no psychiatrist. They just is crazy. In order to be a psychiatrist, you got to be crazy also.
I do agree with that, but this is a person that was severely traumatized, and she needs whatever it is, whether it's going to a shrink or joining a group or something, she needs to hash out those feelings.
She needs God first.
All right. Well, God first. And,
yeah.
And it may be, and especially if God tells her to go to the shrink.
Nah, I doubt that.
All right. All right, Juan. What's up with all the black guys named Juan, by the way? You know, there's like an inordinate amount of black guys named Juan?
No.
There's Juan. There's a lot of Juan. A lot of black Juan guys. Juan. I just thought, when did that become a black name? I thought that was a Mexican name there. And, Juan.
Mexican?
Mexican.
Oh,
I see. Brooke?
Yeah?
You're 13. What's up?
Well, I have this, like, really strange death fetish. Like, whenever I masturbate, I can't get off unless I think about killing the person that I'm thinking of being with, you know?
Oh, how interesting.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Like she's a Black Widow spider.
Mm-hmm.
She has sex with them and eats them, like a praying mantis.
Yeah, I like this thing where I get like fantasize about like ripping their heart out and like eating it. It's like really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Most of the time, I like think I have like this huge obsession with like Korn and Jonathan Davis. Usually, I think about doing it with him and then like slitting his throat, and then it's like really strange.
I'm sure he's very, very pleased with these preoccupations.
Yeah, that's why they have security. Yeah.
Well,
what happened to you? Anything?
No, not that I can remember. I mean, I haven't had anybody close to me like die or anything.
You ever get physically abused?
I remember one incident when I was like 4 with my dad.
What happened?
Me and my brother were like laughing upstairs, and then he came up and told me, you know, just shut up. And then we just kept on laughing, and then he came up and he grabbed me by my arm, and he like threw me down the stairs, and then threw me out the door, and then like my mom came back out and got me and like kicked my dad out, and then he came back and he was better and everything, but I think he had an alcohol problem or something.
Mm. All right. Well, it's starting to come together.
Yeah, and there's some theories that the wanting to destroy the things that you connect with or love is the result of envy. That you soil it by getting it, by having it, and then you have to destroy it because it's been soiled by being connected with you.
Eating
that
hard,
makes
though.
Sense. Yeah, I mean, I've had a lot of problems lately.
Yeah.
All right.
Like depression and cutting myself and stuff.
Yeah, this is all part of that whole process.
And it's just like, I just like think it's like really strange. And
I had a fantasy once that I raped a donut and then ate it, but that's...
A little different.
That's different.
A little softer core.
A little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, you're getting treatment? You're stable?
No. I'm kind of just like, I have an older brother and a younger sister, so I'm kind of like, I've always been like the really kind of, I've never had any problems really, so my parents really never
Like, they always kind of just thought I was, like, this really independent person.
Well, now, but it sounds like you're getting some problems, yes?
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't feel comfortable talking to them about it.
What if you went to Al-Anon?
Huh?
What if you went to Alateen, something like that, a place with other teenagers who have similar...
Well, that's what I've been trying to do. Like, I called a few nights ago, and they told me to dial this, like, 1-800-SUICIDE thing, and I tried that and stuff. But, I mean, they told me to tell my parents and everything.
Give me that hotline number. Who told you that?
Someone there. I'm not sure who it was.
Book there. Hold on a second. I'm going to get you out.
All right, talk to her off the air, would you? Brooke?
Yeah?
Hang on a second.
Okay.
Drew's going to give you some numbers off the air, okay?
Okay.
You call those numbers. Meanwhile, see if you can go vegan so you don't eat any guy's hearts after you have sex with them, right? And don't get pregnant.
Okay.
Don't get strung out on smack.
I have a number for you. It's 818-760-7122. 818-760-7122. They'll have a referral for Alateen for you.
All right, that's local?
Yeah.
She's calling from Claremont.
Yeah, that's the most local phone number I've got there.
All right. We'll take a break. Thank you.
Here we go.
That's it.
Shocking.
Fantabulous. This is it for the week, right?
Oh, yeah.
We're wrapped up?
Next week, Afro Man.
That's right.
Kevin Smith.
Oh, yes, from Silent Bob and Bob and Silent Bob and Jay Strike Back. A movie I think I used to be in.
You used to be.
I think he may have cut me out of it.
Oh, that's so funny.
That's funny. We'll have to get back. Oh, but don't worry. I made no money on it. You know, it was one of these things. It's like, hey, you want to do this movie? Yeah. How much? No pay, but it's great exposure. Well, okay, go down. Hey, you've been cut out of it. All right, where's the pay now? I'm going to ask Kevin Smith where the pay is when we see him next week. So until next time. Oh, I want to thank producer Ann for putting her feminine stink on the show and doing a wonderful job, as always. I want to thank Damien for getting pretty close to getting fired midweek, but really making a comeback later on. And, of course, Anderson, who's just never stops weaving the magic behind that board. Ann will be gone all next week and sorely missed. So until next time. And I bet you if he didn't tell me he was gone, I wouldn't have noticed until Wednesday. This is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
But also she should remember that as a black woman, she's mother of creation.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins-Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.